At the Governor's Ag Conference in Kearney, we're going to visit with Tyson Redpath. Tyson is with the Russell Group, which is a food and agriculture consulting firm, lobbying firm in Washington, D.C. Tyson, you talked this morning about the so-called egg bill in Washington and the concerns that you have with that. If I'm quoting you correctly here, you call it a very, very scary proposition.
I did, and I think a number of features about it should be frightening to everyone in agriculture. Like I mentioned this morning, this is a bill, a statute, something that will be written into law. And as you read through the bill, it has very explicit inch per cubic inch requirements on the size of hen houses. And it ties that directly with a maximum cap on ammonia levels. And all of that is tied together in a brand new mandatory labeling regime. And so when you start literally legislating the size of production facilities on farm, in the barn, inch by inch, I think that's something that should concern not only egg farmers, but hog farmers, ranchers, and you know, even dairymen, dairywomen, and producers and farmers and ranchers of all walks.
You know, the egg producers have said, you know, this is just about eggs, you know, don't worry about it. And HSUS has said much the same thing, but you're indicating you think HSUS sees this as a platform for bigger things?
Candidly, it's hard to believe and almost downright laughable to hear HSUS say that, you know, their agenda, their motivations, their intentions are confined only to eggs, are focused only on eggs. We know very well in their very aggressive and litigious campaign against the National Pork Producers Council, as well as, you know, ballot initiatives on tail docking and their assault on dairy production, that their horizons are not just limited to eggs. They're much broader. And as I mentioned in my speech, never in Washington, in my 13-year career in Washington, have I seen a bill narrow or a law get smaller. Once something is signed into law, once a statute is enacted by Congress, it leaves wide open, ample opportunity for amendments, additions. There's only one place to go, and that's bigger, not smaller, when you're talking about lawmaking in Washington, D.C. Now, and I was also something that I worked on in my career on Capitol Hill was country of origin labeling. And I would remind folks that, you know, the very first, or at least one of the initial country of origin labeling efforts, was focused on fruits and vegetables. And by the time that amendment worked its way through the legislative process, it was bloated. It had expanded to cover beef, pork. And today, we have a mandatory country of origin labeling regime that I might mention has been ruled illegal by the World Trade Organization, but that covers so much more than just fruits and vegetables. So the notion that you can introduce this bill and work this bill through the legislative process and guarantee that no amendments, no additions, no changes outside the realm of eggs will be made is foolish.
So where do you think this legislation is going? Some speculation now with the farm bill process starting again that they could try to slip it into to the next farm bill.
I think they've made it very clear that their aim and their intent is to add this to the next farm bill. And so, one of the reasons I'm here today and I will be continuing our work in Washington is to make sure people know that this legislation has a target. That target is the Farm Bill. And I think those that are championing this, particularly one group that is championing this, will stop at nothing to ensure that it is made part of the Farm Bill. And I think, everyone across the Farm Belt needs to be mindful of that, vigilant of that. And, one of the things I talked about today was all about raising your voice in certain respects. And farmers need to raise their voice and do it in a way that's not just digital, but that's analog. They need to get in the faces of their elected lawmakers and make sure that they understand the very real, severe potential consequences this legislation could have.
Ag Secretary Vilsack raised some eyebrows with his comments that began, I think, in December, and he's repeated a few times that agriculture needs to do a better job of building alliances if they want to get things done in Washington, get the Farm Bill passed, and specifically cited the Ag Bill and said, if I'm paraphrasing correctly here, you can't keep fighting things like this. We've got to keep moving forward and making progress. How is that played in Washington?
Look, I think a lot of people agree with the Secretary that we need to have a proactive dialogue, particularly with our urban friends and in our suburban communities, to use this bill as an example of an effective dialogue along those lines is utterly unbelievable, particularly coming from an administration that has touted the millions of dollars they've spent to promote small, medium-sized farmers, to promote the interest and to protect the interest of the small, independent producer. This bill, this agreement that he's touting as an effective outcome of that dialogue, runs absolutely contrary to everything this administration has stood for in terms of being vanguards for the small and local producer. Look, this is a $5 to $10 million proposition for even the smallest egg farmers. That means bring the chain, the bolt, and the lock. They're going out of business. So how can you tout on the one hand all that your administration is doing to promote the interest of small farmers and then at least tacitly endorse a bill that will mean the end to many of those same small farmers?